This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Heron. Chapter 2, Calitris.
Don't freak out. Just back up. Real snow-like.
Eric barely registered Evan's words over the low rumble coming from the hulking beast before them. Thankfully, he didn't need the tiny merc's prompting, as he already knew everything there was to know about bears. At least, from an academic standpoint. He had read many books that detailed the creatures, from their size to their paw print patterns, and even a couple that offered up short passages about surviving an attack. One book even listed the common methods on how to kill one. But, to his dismay, none of his beloved tomes had talked about the more practical knowledge of coming face to face with one, like the way his intestines seemed to quiver in his guts, or how his knees felt like snapping under his own weight. That would have been useful foreknowledge to have. The bear narrowed its tiny eyes at them, the eerie glow from the flickering purple flames causing his outline to shift and morph in the dim light. The fur on its back began to bristle, and it let out a long, rumbling growl as it forced itself all the way up onto its hind legs. The top of the bear's battle-scarred head raked against the branches some 10 or 12 feet off the ground. It peeled back its lips, revealing long, angry yellow teeth, and its rumbling growl exploded into a mind-numbing roar that shattered the night. Evan's thumbs pushed up on the ends of his knives, and he flipped them out, scooting backwards a little faster than was dignified. He bumped into Eric's shins and looked up at him.
Back up faster, you moron!
Eric swallowed hard, his mind seeming to reboot.
Oh, right!
His voice shook nearly as hard as his knees. He shifted his weight and, with haste, began backpedaling. Evan, not daring to turn his back on the beast, looked over his shoulder to check that their path was clear. Instead, he noticed something scrawled in the dirt. Its odd runic shape was glowing faintly and was directly in the idiot's path. He contemplated mentioning this, but as the other man's sandal slipped neatly over it, he closed his eyes and muttered a silent curse. Of course he would get stuck with this brother. A tingle at the bottom of his shoe caught Eric's attention in time to see a small ball of light shoot up from the tip of his sandal. It quickly rose to eye level and then stopped, hovering for but a moment, flickering and dancing in the night air. He frowned at it, unsure of its purpose.
What the?
A shockwave burst out from the epicenter of the orb as the ball erupted into a supernova of white-hot light, sending Eric, Evan, and even the bear toppling backwards to the ground, clutching at their heads in agony. Being smaller in stature and mass, Evan was flung off his feet by the force of the explosion and tossed directly into the side of the monstrous bear. Blinded by brilliant spots in his vision, he struggled to extricate himself from beneath the heavy behemoth. The bear was in equally bad shape, rolling around as it fought to swipe away the blinking lights in its eyes. It let out a piteous moan as it pressed its face into the dirt. Evan managed to pull himself free from between the creature's front and back legs. The shape of the bear was coming back to him, slowly, and he decided it was far better to strike now than risk being trampled to death. It was distracted and vulnerable. One quick slice, and he could drop the thing before it even knew he was there. He readjusted his grip on his knives, said a hasty prayer, and bounded in to where he thought the bear's neck might be. Before his blades could reach their mark, the bear dropped to its stomach and threw out one of its front paws as it rolled over, letting out another whine of self-pity. Evan, while deft and agile as ever, was still unable to see and leapt right into the swing. The force of the bear's attack sent the tiny merc flying into the thick of the forest like a soccer ball kicked across a field. Eric rolled onto his hands and knees, pawing at his useless eyes. The sharp cry of his companion was drowned out by the grunting and growling of the bear.
Evan?
Somewhere ahead of him, he heard the beast thrashing around in the brush.
Evan, where are you? I can't see!
There was no response, but Eric could make out a heavy rustling of footfalls near the edge of the camp. Unprepared for dealing with yet another forest creature, while blind no less, he swung out his hand in front of him. His fingers sifted through the dirt and ground cover until they brushed up against a sizable branch. He pulled it closer, turning his head to listen.
Evan? Evan, is that you?
He tightened his grip on the branch as he attempted to push himself to his feet. Despite color and shape returning to his vision, he couldn't find his foot and slumped back to his knees.
Jeez, Barry, can't a guy take a leak? Well, he was only gone for a moment. Did you roll over on the intruder alarm again?
Eric squinted, barely making out a blurry figure against the blurry... everything.
Wait, what's this?
A pause, and then the laughter of intrigue.
Oh, an intruder!
A frown pulled at Eric's face as the words rolled over in his ears.
Wait, me or the bear?
Behold your doom!
Something else his textbooks had never properly described was the racking sensation of being hit over the back of the head with a tree branch.
It'll be fun, they said. You'll make a ton of money, they said.
Evan pulled free a prickly sticker from his ear, resisting the urge to cry out. If he had known he was going to end up lost and alone in some backwoods forest, he would have gone with the other brother. At least Vel can take care of himself. When his granny had come to him with what she called a golden opportunity to make his fortune, Evan could honestly say he had been more than ecstatic. He had been downright giddy at the idea of making his mark on the family business, not to mention the promise of a king's ransom in gold. And what a mark he had made. Enough treasure to retire twice over. Had he known his greedy grandmother was going to keep his earnings for safekeeping and send him back out into the multiverse with a pair of witless wonders, he might have reconsidered taking the job in the first place. He scowled up at the dark canopy and the innocently winking stars above. The sky was already tinged with the green from the approaching sunrise. Evan's sigh turned into a grunt as he pried himself free from the bramble bush he had landed in. The trees were closer together here, taller and with thicker foliage. What little starlight that could break through the gaps in the leaves did little to illuminate the darkened interior of the forest. But growing up in an underground city meant he was right at home in these low-light conditions. He'd just have to put some of his tracking skills to use, and he could return to the bookish idiot in no time. He spun on the spot, making a full turn in an attempt to take in his surroundings. Thickets of moss grew along the nearest trees, climbing up the bark like a rash. He knelt down, pushing his tiny fingers into the earth. The ground was hard and cold, but the short clover appeared to be the same type that was covering the rocks in the clearing. He couldn't be that far from the camp. His eyes flickered around as he stood. No glow of a far-off fire, and he only met silence in the air. No angry bears nearby either. Well, without any real sense of direction, he would just have to take a chance on his instincts and follow the growth of the moss. Evan was about to call out for Eric when the rustling of leaves told him to stop. Dozens of birds scattered from their perches, screeching in fear as they fled into the night sky. He froze, one foot hovering above the ground. Only a predator could scare off a brood of nesting birds in the dark of the night. He felt his heart begin to race as he took an unsteady step back. Then he heard it, a faint clinking sound. It was almost rhythmic, like that of someone or something walking. Not wishing to be caught unprepared out in the open, Evan ducked into a nearby berry bush. He pushed himself low to the ground, ignoring the fleet of scurrying spiders. Here, he could see without being seen. Or, at least, that's what he was hoping for. The sound grew steadily louder. Clink, clink, clink. It was slow and forced, almost with a limping gait. He could see the outline of something growing lighter in the shadows of the trees. It was a figure. Evan squinted in the dark, careful not to move in his hiding spot lest he give away his position. He could see that it was a human, or had been at some point. Its flesh was in varying degrees of decay, and its rusted armor hung loose from its withered, frail body. Dead, milky-white eyes stared lifelessly ahead as it shuffled, dragging itself along on an obviously broken leg. Arrows stuck out of its armor, and its helmet sat lopsided on its head. A soldier, long dead from battle. But how was it alive and moving? His granny used to tell him stories about the undead and how they walked around after the bombs forced the living underground. It had always given him nightmares, which might have been the point, but eventually he had grown up and realized she was just telling him lies to get him to leave her alone and go to bed. But here was one in the rotting flesh. Evan didn't realize he was holding his breath until the thing ambled away in a different direction, and he let out a long, low sigh. He remained in his spot, watching the soldier shuffle around a group of trees before dissolving back into the darkness of the forest. It wasn't until the birds returned to their roosts that he knew it was safe to leave. He crawled out from the bush, dusting off a few spiders, and ducked into the shadows of a nearby tree. With a few deep breaths, he began to make his way towards what he hoped was the campsite. Eric's face contorted in pain as he pried open his eyes. The sun had peeked out over the horizon, painting everything in a brilliant shade of pink splashed with gold. The ground beneath him was hard and still cold from the night, with little ground cover to cushion his aching head. To his one side, he could hear a faint, muffled argument. He groaned and tried to push himself into a sitting position, but found he had been tethered at the wrists. He lifted his arms to see a thick black rope that was bound tight around his hands and a lead hanging limp that trailed off into the dirt. He sighed, dropping his arms, and turned his attention to the argument.
"It's got to be him. Look at the nose."
I know.
The ears are a little too long. But look at the white in his hair. And his forehead is exactly like the one on the coin."
Eric couldn't stop the roll of his eyes. Even from this poor vantage point, he could recognize the face of his captor. And, of course, he was having a one-sided conversation.
"What the hell, Attila? Stop talking to that bear and come untie me!"
He let out a low sigh as he strained to separate his hands. When the rope failed to budge, he turned his head in the direction of the noise again.
"And why do you sound like a leprechaun?"
The familiar, skinny figure jumped to his feet and approached cautiously.
"I'd say that was specious, but I'm actually 1/16th leprechaun on me ma's side. And the name, by the way, is pronounced Atlas. But close enough. Glad to see my reputation is preceding me, Your Highness."
He bowed in a mocking gesture before reaching down for the end of the lead and yanked back on it, forcing the other man into a sitting position. Eric groaned, his head swimming from the sudden change in position. He blinked several times, clearing his vision before he shifted his focus to his captor's face. There was a familiarity there, but something was wrong with it. Different. He could see where the similarities between this man and his otherworldly twin were blurred. This Atlas was tall and skinny, with the same large ears and a goofy smile plastered across his mouth. He even sported a similar eye patch over his left eye, just like Attila. But he was paler, covered from head to toe in freckles, and his copper hair was tied into a small tail at the nape of his neck. The bear took advantage of the distraction and ambled over, moodily plopping down on his hind legs with a huff.
"No."
He pushed his paws together, almost like he was trying to fold his arms in front of his chest.
"Not now, Barry. You're embarrassing me in front of the king."
Atlas straightened up, adjusting the sleeves of his robes. Eric grimaced. Apparently, fashion sense was another shared quality. This guy was exposing far too much chest for his liking. He wore a frayed, silk, knee-length bathrobe open in the front with no shirt underneath. He was thinking of a comment, more like an insult, when something clicked.
Wait, King? Listen, buddy, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not a king.
Atlas shook a finger at him.
Just what a king would say.
Barry rolled his eyes.
Mm.
Eric's gaze shifted from the bear back up to his captor, his brows pulling down in disbelief.
What? Damn it! Atlas, untie me and let me go!
He struggled against the rope in frustration, regretting his earlier decision to not buy that book on rope tricks.
Whoa there, Your Majesty. That's a double half-hitch granny with a sheep-chain knot. You won't be getting loose anytime soon. And don't bother trying any magic.
Atlas wiggled his fingers mysteriously.
I enchanted these ropes to nullify any and all of your abilities.
Eric blanched.
My abilities? Magic isn't a thing!
Atlas grinned at Barry like he had just won a bet.
Exactly what an evil sorcerer would say.
How does that even make any sense?
Atlas reached down and picked the lead up off the ground.
It doesn't have to make sense for it to be right.
Eric felt a sharp pain somewhere in the back of his head. Perhaps a portion of his brain cells had just spontaneously combusted in revolt.
Yes, it does!
Atlas shrugged and hauled Eric to his feet, tossing the lead to Barry.
Eh, as long as you look like the Lost King, it doesn't matter if I'm right or not. Now let's go.
Eric stumbled as Barry snapped up the rope in his jaws and began to move, tugging him along.
Go? Go where?
Atlas grinned as he climbed onto the bear's back.
To the Bandit Queen, of course.
He pointed off into the distance, turning as a smile crept along his features.
She has a hefty bounty on your head.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
Granny, I can't sweep.
Shut up, kid. I'm counting my money.
But, Granny, can you read me a bedtime story?
All right. Come here.
Thanks, Granny.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who refused to go to bed.
Yeah? What happened to him?
Shut up. I'm getting to that part. Well, everyone knows that little boys are the favorite snack of the living dead, right?
What?
And this little boy refused to go to sleep. So a maggot-covered corpse crawled into his room with one eye hanging out of its face. Hey, where are you going? Don't you want to hear the ending? 1,476, 1,477, 1,478...